need to spend time building our spiritual house. Because in our spiritual house, he's welcomed and he'll enter. And to have that presence of God is truly an amazing thing. And there are blessings in building a place in your heart for God to reside. Definite blessings. So today we're going to take a look at Israel as they came back to Jerusalem after being held in captivity by the Babylonians. We will look at the book of Haggai and probably read the whole book of Haggai. You may cover a whole book of the Bible today. Isn't that great? You can write that down. Out of 66, you're going to have one conquered. And we'll see how important it is to rebuild, how important it was for them to rebuild the temple, God's house, so that he could once again reside with his people. Now, last week we started a series called Rebuilding Our Broken World. And the first part of that series was Firm Foundations. But once we have our firm foundations built, we need to build that house, don't we? We need to build that spiritual house. And that's what we're going to talk about today. And of course, the name of the sermon is Building a Spiritual House on this foundation, firm foundation, which we talked about last week. Our scripture reading comes from Haggai. We'll start with chapter 1, go 2 through 8. And then we'll go to chapter 2 and read that whole chapter. So you're going to have to bear with me. So grab your Bibles. If you don't have a Bible, grab a pew Bible. I'll be reading from the NIV. And since today's Valentine's Day, before we start, I want you to tell somebody that Jesus loves them. Jesus loves you. Go ahead. Yeah, Jesus loves you. I like that. It almost sounds like a song. Jesus loves me, this I know. Or the Bible tells me so. Oh, that's another sermon. I'm sorry. So let's start. And again, bear with me. This is long, but it's very important. This whole series is very important so that this church can go to the next stage of getting our own house in order so that we can reach out to others. Haggai chapter 1, verse 2 through 8. This is what the Lord Almighty says. These people say the time has not yet come for the Lord's house to be built. Then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. It is a time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while this house remains in ruin. Now this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. You have planted. Will you pull me down a little bit here, Mike? Excuse me. You have planted much, but have harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You put on clothes, but are not warm. You earn wages, only to put them in a purse with holes in it. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. Go up into the mountains and bring down timber and build a house so that I may take pleasure. So that I may take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. Let's go to Haggai chapter 2. On the 21st day of the seventh month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Speak to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, to Joshua's son, Jehozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people. Ask them, who of you is left who saw this house in its former glory? How does it look to you now? Does it not seem to you like nothing? But now be strong, O Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, O Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord, and work, for I am with you, declares the Lord Almighty. This is what I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, and my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. This is what the Lord Almighty says. In a little while, I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. I will shake all nations, and the desired of all nations will come. And I will find this house with glory, says the Lord Almighty. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty. And in this place, I will grant peace, declares the Lord Almighty. On the 24th day of the ninth month in the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came to the prophet Haggai. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Ask the priest what the law says. If a person carries consecrated meat in the fold of his garment, and that fold touches some bread or stew, some wine, oil, or other food, does it become consecrated? And the priest answered, no. Then Haggai said, if a person defiled by contact with a dead body touches one of these things, does it become defiled? Yes, the priest replied, it becomes defiled. Then Haggai said, so it is with this people and this nation in my sight, declares the Lord. Whatever they do and whatever they offer, there is defiled. Now give careful thought to this from this day on. Consider how things were before one stone was laid on another in the Lord's temple. When anyone came to a heap of 20 measures, there were only 10. When anyone went to a wine vat to draw 50 measures, there were only 20. I struck all the work of your hands with blight, mildew, and hail, yet you did not turn to me, declares the Lord. From this day on, from this 24th day of the ninth month, give careful thought to the day when the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid. Give careful thought. Is there yet any seed left in the barn? Until now, the vine and the fig tree and the pomegranate and the olive tree have not borne fruit. From this day on, I will bless you. The word of the Lord came to Haggai a second time on the 24th day of the month. Tell Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, that I will shake the heavens and the earth. I will overturn royal thrones and shatter the power of the foreign kingdoms. I will overthrow chariots and their drivers, horses and their riders will fall, each by the sword of his brother. On that day, declares the Lord Almighty, I will take you, my servant, Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, declares the Lord, and I will make you like my signet ring, for I have chosen you, declares the Lord Almighty. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you just praising your name and being excited about having you in our temple and bringing you into this sanctuary. Lord, we ask for your presence today as your presence was upon the temple in its glory. We know things have not changed and that you want to be present in our lives, both in the sanctuary and the sanctuary of our hearts. So with that, dear Lord, I ask that you will use me as your vessel to review your word so that it may teach us how to live our lives and how to build that spiritual house. So with that, Lord, I ask that every heart and mind will be open to your word as we study about how we build this place for you to reside. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's talk a little bit about Haggai. Haggai was a minor prophet. His name means feast or festive. And the setting here is about 520 AD and about 15 years after the Israelites were released from captivity. And it was a call for him to encourage the people to get back to building the temple. About 50,000 Israelites returned to Jerusalem to finish the temple during the time of Cyrus, who was the king of Persia. And this group was called the remnant, because not all came back. This was only about 1/12 of the total Israelites that were held in captivity. So out of 600,000 people, there were only 50,000 that had the heart to come back and try to rebuild the temple of God. At that time, the Persian and Darius, the king of Persia, had appointed Zerubbabel as governor of the new province of Judah. But unfortunately, some struggle was going on in the people's hearts in the task of rebuilding the temple. They had laid the foundation 15 years before, but because of life, did not build the building, did not build the temple. So with that, we've read almost all of Haggai, so you can tell people you're going to learn the whole book of the Bible. So let's unpack this scripture, and let's see what it means to us. So the question is, how do you build a spiritual house? Well, I think you get a hint from the book of Haggai. And here's some tips on building that house. Number one, it's important to start building now. It's important to get our priorities straight. It's important now to focus on God's house. It seems that here in Israel, they decided it wasn't time yet because they were too busy building whose house? Their own. They got monies to build a house, and here their own house, their own house was paneled. Their own house was probably gorgeous, immaculate. And God is saying, you know, I don't understand that, this. You have time to build your own house, but you don't have time to build my house. And what was the result? The result was that God withheld some blessings from them. And they never caught up. You ever get to the point, I'm never caught up. No matter what happens, there's always another bill. There's always another chore. There's always something else to do. I'm never caught up. And that's the way the Israelites were. Saying, I'm never caught up. How in the world do I have time to build God's temple? So their focus was on material things, certainly not on building God's house. And they were trying to get ahead without dwelling in God's place. So basically, they were putting themselves first and not God. They're worrying about catching up. They're worrying about paying the next bill. And what God says here, I love God because throughout these verses, he says, give careful thought to your ways. This means consider, think about it, take it to heart. You eat, but you're still hungry. You sow, and the harvest is little. You drink, but you're still thirsty. He's saying, don't you think something's wrong here? Don't you think I want to bless you because I do? So he says, consider this. Look back. Consider what's going on here. Consider what's going on here. Your focus is on yourself and not on my house. Excuse me, hello, hello. That's what God was saying. Hello, excuse me, I'm here. Yet their focus was getting things done, getting the house done, going to work, getting the kids out, and nothing on him. Here's what Ray Stedman says. Why did God short-circuit all their efforts to achieve prosperity? Was it because he was trying to punish them? No, God never punishes in that sense. He was trying to wake them up. He was trying to show them that there was an infallible rule that runs all through Scripture and all through life that men are constantly trying to reverse. That says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be yours as well. Isn't that great? We all know that. Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be yours as well. What a great verse. And that's what God was saying. He said, hello, I'm here. You go on building your life. You're not complete. Nothing is happening. But I'm here. I'm here. Number two, they didn't want to build because they didn't feel that they could build the building like it was in Solomon's time. Because it was a glorious building. Of gold and silver, of rooms, many rooms, of utensils that were of gold and silver, of the Ark of the Covenant. They thought the building, they didn't know that the building experience will be different than what they expected. And that's what God is telling them in Haggai 3, 5 through, chapter 2, 3 through 5 and 9. He's saying that they were depressed because they compared what they were building to the splendor of Solomon's temple. They're saying, it's not the same as my old church. Not the same place. Not the same feel. Because they thought that the glory of the temple was the temple itself. Not understanding that it came from God's presence. It wasn't a building. It wasn't a building that was exciting. It was knowing that they were walking into God's presence. That's what was exciting. They were discouraged by the older ones. Ah, well, you know, back in the old days, back in the old days, church was different, right? Back in the old days. And God is saying to them, no, this is going to be new. Expect something different. Expect me to be there. Stedman says, do not stop the work because it doesn't compare with something that was there in the past. This is one of the problems of God's people. We are always looking back to the past. We say, oh, for the days of the church where we came from. Oh, what we did then. And we are wistful and long to have it just that way. But the great lesson that God wants to impress upon us is that God always does a new and different work. The thing is coming, the thing that is coming in the future is always better for our present situation than the past. We do not need to hang on to these things of tradition. God is saying, keep on working, I am with you. And when I am in your midst, you don't need to worry about how it is going to turn out. It may be different, but will always be better. Isn't that great? It may be different. What we do here might be different, but if God's in it, it will always be better. So God says, be strong, take courage, I am with you. Do not fear, this will be greater. This place I will give you peace. And he's saying, do you really want gold and silver or the majesty of the temple? Or do you want me? Isn't that great? Do you want that or do you want me? And if you want me, if you want me in your temple, whether it's in the sanctuary or whether it's in our hearts, if you want me, my presence will be even greater than the past. That's a promise. It will be even greater than the past. Item three, if we're going to build our spiritual house, it's critical that we clean up our act. Carefully consider this, he says, throughout chapter 2. Carefully consider this. Let's look at this. And he says, ask the priest what the law says. If a person carries consecrated meat in the fold of his garment, and that fold touches some bread or stew, some wine, oil, or other food, does it become consecrated? And the priest said, no. Back then, they carried holy meat. There was a process, a sanctification process for that holy meat, in order for it to be holy for the high priesthood to eat or for others to eat. So what he's saying, or the principle here, is that holiness is not contagious. Just because we go in the church, it doesn't make us holy, does it? Just because we touch holy things, it doesn't make us holy. Holiness is a heart issue with God. That's what holiness is. And works can't make us holy. And ceremonies can't make us holy. So their sacrifices and their ceremonies themselves wasn't going to make them holy. In this case, they were being disobedient by trying to build the temple without a heart toward reestablishing a relationship with God. What do you think about that? They wanted to rebuild their church without a heart reestablishing a relationship with God. And if you do that, ladies and gentlemen, you just have a building. It may be beautiful. It might be the most beautiful cathedral in Paris, like Notre Dame, but without the presence of God, it's nothing. Our holiness does not depend on ceremony. It doesn't depend on us touching something that's holy. Our holiness depends on the presence of God in our lives. You with me? It's a long sermon, so buckle up. You with me? Okay. Number two, he says, carefully consider this. Remember that sin can affect everything around us. If a person defiled by contact with a dead body touches one of these things, does it become defiled? Yes, the priest replied, it becomes defiled. And then Haggai said, so it is with this people. Isn't that something? instead of God's people. Now it's with this people. That's what this people do. Not my people, this people. And believe you me, that a healthy church or family can become sick because of the sins of one or two in a family or congregation. It's like a virus, whether it's jealousy or gossip or adultery or envy or lust. It can permeate throughout the congregation. And that's what's saying here. We need to be clean eaters. And the disobedience of the people was like a dead thing in their midst, contaminating everyone. It takes over the body completely. Oh, we'll have time for the temple. Besides that, it will never be like Solomon. And it doesn't stay with one person, does it? It carries on to everybody until we get the mood that it's more about not building the building than creating a place for God to enter. So God is saying, oh, that's what it looks to me. So is this people, not my people. Number three, know that separation from God does not bear fruit. Carefully consider that. Consider how things were before one stone was laid on another. When anyone came to a heap of 20 measures, there were only 10. Again, consider it. Lay it on your heart. Ponder it earnestly. Retrace the past. Compare what evil befell you before this. You know, since those days the foundation was built, he says they were not blessed completely. When they were expecting 20 measures of grain, they got 10. Some may have dried up or gotten eaten by vermin. When they were experiencing 50 vessels of wine from the press, there were only 30, and the yield was less than what they thought. And God could not get their attention. And the temple was a place where God wanted to dwell with them, and they couldn't see it. They couldn't see it. God wasn't in their plan. The building of their houses and their physical needs came first. And in the world of conditional covenant, which the Old Testament was, they lost a blessing. They lost a blessing. It's no different than us doing our things and finding out we don't feel complete anymore. Have you been there? That spell of dryness? I'm not complete. Something is just not right. There's not completion in my life. And that's what God is saying. There's not completion in your life because you were born to be completed by me and for me to dwell in you. And last, having a spiritual life will result in blessings in the long run. Carefully consider this. When the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, give careful thought. Is there yet any seed left in the barn? Until now, the vine, the fig tree, the pomegranate, and the olive trees have not borne fruit. Here's a future promise. Get the building, that temple, that house, spiritual house for God, that personal house, and this house too. And there will be blessings. And God says, you know, it's time to get the seed out. It's time to get rolling. As soon as your heart changes, things are going to happen. And there will be growth. Not just growth for the church, but growth in here. Growth as a people of God. Are blessings immediate? Are crops immediate? No, they take time. But isn't it something that when you grow a garden, and 2, 3, 4, 5 months later, you look at it and you go, wow, the harvest has been made. I mean, the harvest is ready. That's what he'll do with us as we build our spiritual life. As we grow with him, we'll look back and we'll go, wow, look what he's done. Look how he's restored me. Look how he's rebuilt relationships. Look how he has rebuilt other things in my life and has prospered me regardless of me, you know, in spite of me. He's prospered in spite of me. So God is saying, let's be patient for the moment. Let's be patient. I mean, everything's a season, right? We have seasons. That's the seasons of our life too. Let's be patient. I think what's most exciting is Haggai 2, 21 through 23, where there was a promise by God to Zerubbabel. A promise to the governor of Judah, saying, you know, I will overturn thrones and I will shatter the power of foreign kingdoms. I will do all that. And he's saying that to us too. He'll take over strongholds, won't he? God will conquer those strongholds. But what's really nice is this. On that day, declares the Lord Almighty, I will take you, my servant, Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, declares the Lord, and I will make you like a signet ring, for I have chosen you, declares the Lord Almighty. Make you like a signet ring. What's a signet ring? What is a signet ring? It's a sign of authority. It's a sign of belonging to the king, right? A signet ring. I will make you a signet ring. I will make you my authority, and I will give you a future. And get this. Here's what Stedman says. God says, don't worry, I have a program going that will reverse the whole order of things. I will destroy the power of this kingdom. I will bring their chariots to naught. I will break you loose from the bondage of this people. And I'm going to take Zerubbabel, the man who stands as the leader of the people, and make him a signet ring. Now, Zerubbabel was of the royal line, the line of David. And through these words, were not literally fulfilled in Zerubbabel. They were spoken of his descendant, who was Jesus of Nazareth. And then Jesus, God fulfilled all the words. He took the son of David and made him a signet ring by which all nations shall ultimately be ruled. Didn't know that before, did you? Pretty cool when we rebuild the temple. Pretty cool. But let's get to the nitty-gritty. What does that mean to us? How do we apply this to our lives? I mean, how do we take this in and live our lives as individuals building our temple? I think we have to give careful thought to everything. Most importantly, let's give careful thought of our lives with God in it and with God out of it. And try to remember that our life is better with God in it than without. Do we still have the same problems with God in our lives? Absolutely. But do you have a sense of peace? Do you have a sense that he will take care of it? That's a big difference. So what I say to you is, don't wait to build a relationship with God. Don't wait to get your house in order before you go to him. There's someone that says, you know, once I get right with God, then I'll come to church. I said, no. Once you come to church, it's a beginning of getting right with God. If we wait for our personal house to be ready before we build a spiritual house, will it happen? We always want more. There's always something more. People always find time to do what they want to do. Isn't that correct? Always find time. So, like God to the Israelites, he tells us, you know, we need to start building that relationship now. Let's take that time, Bible study and prayer and church and outreach. Let's do that. Because that's really building the church both outwardly and inwardly. We hear those excuses. You know, I'm too busy to attend church. And, you know, there are hypocrites in the church. Which there are, but we're all working on it, right? That's why we're here. I don't have time. And what we have to say, do you want to build a building or do you want to be in God's presence? That's the question. Number two, let's not compare the experience that we have or a past experience with one that we can personally have with him. A church, a solid church, is made up of people that have a strong relationship with Christ. Isn't that true? Our nation wasn't a Christian nation. It was a nation that had leadership who were Christians. That determined the culture. We want to change a culture. We change people one at a time because it's a heart issue. We can't compare past experiences because God has a new experience for each one of us. A new experience for each one of us. You know, many of us have had good church experience. You know, Ginger and I have had many bad church experiences. But every time we would go in there expecting to hear from God, we would. Because it wasn't about the pastor. It wasn't about the building. It wasn't about the others. It was about what did God want to tell us at that time. So if you go to church expecting to hear from God, be prepared to have a pretty neat experience. Experience much different than what you ever had before or ever expected. And don't compare our spiritual house to others. He has something different for all of us, doesn't he? Both personally and corporately as a church. We can't compare. All the church down the street, they do this, they do that. Well, maybe that's not what God has for us. Maybe he has for us a ministry to the Phoenix House, or maybe a ministry to children, or maybe a ministry for the life outreach, and many, many more things. So we can't compare ourselves to other churches. And what I love at all, just like he promised to the Israelites, if they rebuild his temple, he said, in this place, he will grant us peace. Isn't it great to have that feeling? In this place, he will grant us peace. We need a walk worthy of his calling. I mean, let's thirst after righteousness and walk our talk. I'm sorry, but coming to church will not make you righteous no more than going to McDonald's will make you a hamburger. And I'm sure you've heard that before, but I kind of like it. Let me say it again. There's no chuckles here. Coming to church will not make you righteous no more than going to McDonald's will make you a hamburger. It's Christ that makes us righteous. It was his death on the cross that made us righteous. It was never a building, never this place that would make you righteous. We need to remember, too, what you do in life affect what you do in church. We can't live two lives. We got to be clean eaters. We can't walk in defilement because it's contagious, isn't it? We have to walk in God's presence where there's holiness. And if we want a spiritual house, God needs to be in it. We just can't build the building and say, okay, sometime I'll let God in. God has to be in it. And I like God telling the Israelites, consider this, look back. We need to take that time as we walk with God to look back the changes he's made in our lives. Because he has, and the blessings he's given us. So as we go forward with him, we'll say, wow, that changed. Wow, maybe I changed. Well, I changed, and then that changed. Because he changed me. So look for the blessings. When we must be confident that God has a plan for us if we usher in his presence. And that without that spiritual life with him, we will never be satisfied. There will never be enough toys for us guys, right? There will never be enough. But we were made to be completed by him. And that we know he has a great plan for our life. What it is, I don't know, but I'm just excited to go there. I'm excited to look back. I've looked back over my so many years, and I go, wow, that's what God's been doing in my life. He's blessed us so much. I said, what did I do? I didn't do anything except made time for him. Made time for him. And he will take down strongholds that try to control us. Guaranteed. And there are blessings. We got to remember that once we start rebuilding our lives with him in it, there will be blessings. Good decisions with God equals a healthy life. And there is a long-term effect on us and those around us if we go deep with God and do things his way, not ours. If we can defile people with our bad behavior, what do you think we can do with their good behavior? We can change individuals, can't we? Because good behavior is just as contagious as bad. So I guess the answer to that is it's time to get our seeds out. It's time to sow Christ and reap the harvest. It's time to get our spiritual house in order. And you know what's most important is to know that he has given us a signet ring. Isn't that great? A signet ring signifying that we are sons and daughters of God. He's given us that. We know that because he says in the parable of the prodigal son, you know, that the father was restored his son to authority in the household and gave him a ring. The authority in the household and gave him a ring. Don't you think he can do that to us? Give us authority in the household and those around us by giving us that ring to say, you are sons and daughters of God. This ring was expensive. It was paid for a price. It was paid for all of us by Christ's death on the cross to give us that ring to say, you're righteous. Your sins are forgiven. They're taken as far as the east is from the west. They're blotted out to be seen no more. So here's the climax. You ready? No more procrastination. Especially as it relates to God. We have to define what our priorities are. And he has to be number one. Are you ready to put God or God's house first in your life? Do you believe that God wants the best for you? I do. And if the answer is yes, it's time to build your spiritual home so he can reside in it. So let's go to the last slide. This whole sermon, we need to carefully consider it. That means spend time. That means dwell on it. Go over it in our minds. We need to give careful thought about our priorities. David Guzik says, if the priorities of the heart are wrong, nothing we can do can be acceptable to God. Amen. Amen. Don't procrastinate. God has a wonderful plan for our lives. I say, try it. You'll like it. Because looking back in my life, there are blessings. Blessings far beyond imagination. And there's blessings for all of us as we keep that place in our heart reserved just for him. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I personally want to apologize for the times that I don't spend with you. The times, that quiet times in which we talk a lot and we walk together a lot. Help us, Lord, to always go back to you as it was our original purpose in the garden. That was to walk with you in the garden, that safe and that secure place. Help us, Lord, to know that there are nothing but benefits with walking with you and no downside whatsoever. Dear Heavenly Father, I place myself before you to ask you to continue to build my spiritual house and also build the spiritual house of everyone in this congregation. Because once we build that spiritual house and we're solid in it, we know that you will fill this temple. You will fill this temple not with just people, but with yourself. So with that, Lord, we put ourselves before you. Our heart goes up, Lord, for you to take and for you to mold and for you to shape us into what you want us to be. With every eye closed and every head bowed, this is not the salvation call, but this is just a call for prayer. If you are procrastinating with your relationship with God and you want to go deeper and you want prayer for that, I just ask you to put your hand up and right back down because I want to pray for you. If you want to get your spiritual house in order, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I will pray for you because it's not only my heart, it is God's heart that happens. So with that, Lord, we thank you for this day. This was a day just for us few people, just to be with you and in your house. And I thank you for these people And I thank you so much, Lord, that you have brought this team, this church, to be available for your work here in Calumet. And we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and all God's people said, amen.